This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're going to talk about money. So right at the top of the show, we spoke about a hunger strike, and that highlighted the need for better pandemic management. One of the demands that that he focused on was allocating more money to our healthcare. And with Budget 2022 coming up, we wanted to talk about what this might look like.
So this is coming partly because, as you point out, Nathaniel Dunn's strike focuses on pandemic management, but also because there has long been this call for private hospitals to get more involved in the pandemic, in the battle against the pandemic. And there was a statement, actually, that came out from the Association of Private Hospitals of Malaysia, from their president, Datuk Dr. Kuljit Singh, in which he said that private hospitals have actually been slashing medical fees, bearing the fees for treating non-COVID-19 patients brought in from government hospitals, as well as bearing the additional costs of COVID-19 vaccination centres, and that essentially, at the moment, the government is not paying enough to compensate for the internal PPVs, and that they aren't making profits and cannot bring their prices down any further. And I think we say this almost once a week, if not more, and that is that the pandemic has essentially highlighted existing weaknesses within our healthcare system, among which is this idea of funding. How much have we put into not just maintaining the system as it is, but investing in it, not just to make it pandemic proof, but actually just to improve it overall? And I think that that's why we're talking about it as we're a few months out from the budget, to ask the budget, essentially, are you taking these things into account?
And just to say, you know, even though time seems to be moving in a weird way this year, the budget is planned to be tabled on the 29th of October. So that's not a whole lot of time left. So it is a timely, timely point at which to look at these issues as we start to realize what the gaps are in our, start to realize is really understating it, as we've realized so many times over the last year, how much needs to be done. So let us know. Would you like to see more allocations for healthcare in the upcoming budget? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Azrul Mohammad Kalim, who is CEO of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy. Azrul, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start by looking back. How much was Budget 2021 able to prepare for the demands and strains that has come really with this prolonged pandemic?
Well, Sharmila, you know, we at the Galen Center expressed concern last year when the 2021 budget was tabled, that it did not look like a budget of a country that was preparing for a long, drawn-out response to the COVID-19 pandemic, which was surprising considering the lessons that we learned in the months prior to November that gave clear indications that the epidemic was far from over, with a third wave resulting from the Sabah state elections, which was being seen, major investments in vaccines, which were needed, and the heavy dependence on the public health system for disease control management. So what we got instead from the budget was a feeble 4.3% increase in the allocation for health, surprising reductions in mental health services. The Disease Control Division at the Ministry of Health, which is the nerve center of the COVID-19 response, actually receiving less funds than it received in 2020, and university hospitals under the Ministry of Higher Education generally receiving less in 2021, despite hospitals such as the University of Malaya Medical Center playing a major role in the Klang Valley COVID response. And the worst, I have to say, has to be the omission of the 3 billion ringgit and later 5 billion ringgit that was needed for the procurement of COVID-19 vaccines, which had to be sourced from another source of funding later on.
And if we look at what the situation is right now, what are the most urgent needs when it comes to our resources, our facilities? Where would you like to see that money go?
Honestly, everywhere. Everything is urgent. You know, it's from personal protective equipment, you know, talk about gown, gloves, face shields, to intubation kits, ventilators and ICU beds. But really, you know, it's one of the most pressing challenges has been the need to increase the number of ICU beds, which you can see from the hospitalization numbers and those needing to be on ventilator support, it translates to a huge need for us to dramatically increase on that. And you saw that in other countries as well. But, you know, the thing is, while you can purchase everything in providing critical care or intensive care, you can't purchase the 6 to 7 additional nurses and doctors with the skills and expertise needed to man those additional beds. You know, it's going to be the same team, but now having many more beds to monitor and provide care for. So it's a humongous challenge for which I have so much respect and awe for our colleagues working in those wards in the designated COVID-19 hospitals.
Now, how different would you expect Budget 2022 to look now that we have a clearer idea of where the pain points are?
Well, unfortunately, knowing is not going to be the same as being able to do something about it or realize what is needed. You know, the upcoming Budget 2022, just like this current budget, has to deal with so many problematic areas at the same time as dealing with the health crisis. Livelihoods, businesses, and even education have been crippled due to repeated lockdowns and all the measures that have been put into place to respond to COVID-19. We are today at a far different level than where we were in March 2020 or even August 2020. The hole is deeper, resources are fewer, and whatever reserves that most people had to weather the storm last year have dried up, especially when their EPF savings were able to be tapped into. So we will almost certainly need to increase possibly the statutory debt ceiling for Malaysia to perhaps 70% of GDP from the 60% we have at the moment. But, you know, that would require Parliament to meet and vote on it. And we know what kind of mess that is right now.
Now, we have heard extensively about the lack of beds, ICU facilities, ventilators. How would you like to see this approached?
Well, you know, as I said just now, you know, it's more than just about the equipment. And the fact is that the government has already allocated under the previous budget, under this current budget, 1 billion ringgit for COVID-19 related care, which includes beds, gowns, gloves, reagents, testing kits, ventilators, etc. But, you know, as I mentioned just now, while you can purchase everything, you can't purchase the additional manpower, the people, the expertise that we need today. And we need, most importantly, to be able to address our questions correctly to the government in terms of asking, how has the money that has been allocated been spent? Has it been spent in the right places? And why is there a shortage when we should be able to correctly address some of those issues and ongoing concerns, such as, you know, the availability of ventilators, ambulances, and even oxygen tanks?
Now, when it comes to COVID patient care in the private sector, the hospitals have stressed that they are unable to lower prices. What are your thoughts on this? And what type of support can or should the government be giving?
Well, you know, from the beginning, we've always known that the public health sector would be the backbone of the COVID-19 response, with the private sector complementing and working together with the government. But the reality is that people have been shielded for decades of the real cost of healthcare. And it manifests itself in the charges imposed by private hospitals. The government has already or currently subsidizes 95% of healthcare and charges nothing for COVID-19 care. So whatever the government is able to do, it is already doing. And when it comes to private care, this is the price that has to be paid. And I've seen those charges. It is huge, you know, and it's beyond affordability for lower income households, especially. And it's going to be a situation where we have to prioritize individuals, households or people who need to be treated and allocate them to places where perhaps the need would be able to be channeled for those who are less able to afford. So people who can afford it, then we put them in private hospitals. Those who can't perhaps have to go into the public hospital. So it's going to be that kind of calculation in the future.
Now, the issues of Hartal doctor contract have also been at the forefront. And as you rightly point out, there is a need to focus on manpower here. I guess the question is, are you optimistic that the budget will accommodate, you know, the kinds of requests and pressures that we are seeing from our frontliners?
Well, you know, it's a tragic situation, really. And this is not really the end of it. And it certainly manifested itself several years ago. In fact, as recent as 2 years back with the issue of critical allowances. And now this issue of the problem of contract doctors, which has been kicked down the road from one government administration to the next simply because no one wants to expand the political capital and make the kind of tough decisions that would really need to be able to decisively deal with it. And look, it's going to be impossible to absorb every single contract doctor into permanent service due to the fact that there will be budgetary constraints. So what we need to be able to do is to look at where the money comes from. How are we going to pay for the number of doctors that we need to be able to absorb into permanent service? But the problem here is, as long as we are unable to address the issue of healthcare financing reform in Malaysia, we will continue to face these sort of institutional problems, which will affect everything from contract doctors to health outcomes for patients with non-communicable diseases such as cancer. And the fact is that in order for us to jump out of the box, not look out the box, but jump out of the box, we need to find new sources of health funding, which could mean introducing national health insurance. But this is something that's sensitive. People don't want to touch it. And perhaps after this crisis, people will realize that we need it more than ever.
So let's go back to the budget and the numbers in particular, right? So the budget increased by 7.8% last year, or rather this year, to 31.94 billion ringgit. Do you expect to see a further increase in that figure?
Well, actually, it wasn't 7.8%. Actually, 7.8% applies to the previous budget to 2020. The actual increase from 2020 to 2021 was actually 4.3% of the... So it is actually quite feeble, as I mentioned, and certainly we are going to need a massive increase for the upcoming year simply because we have to deal with the consequences of the COVID-19 crisis for this past year. So we are going to see us having to pay for, the kind of long-term care for perhaps long COVID patients, patients who are going to be infected next year because COVID-19 is not going to stop according to the government's deadline. It will go beyond December 2020, and we're going to still have to budget for that. If we're going to need additional vaccines for booster shots, we could still budget for that. And most importantly, we are needing to be able to repair, rebuild and heal the kind of damage that has been the cause or has been resulting from the COVID-19 response for the past 2 years. So 2022 budget, if we thought 2021 budget was the biggest ever that Malaysia tabled, wait until you wait for the 2022 budget. If we can get the debt ceiling to be increased to 70%, we're going to need almost every single ringgit that comes from the increase to help rebuild the country, to restore the level of healthcare, but also the economic situation back to what it was pre-2020.
Azrul, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me, as always.
That was Azrul Muhammad Khalid, CEO at the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, speaking to us about the gaps and really what we need to see when it comes to Budget 2022, but in a larger sense, finances in our healthcare system. So send your thoughts our way. Do you think more needs to be allocated when it comes to the budget for our healthcare? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And coming up after this, there's Popcorn Culture. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.